I get letters like this all the time, and I love every one of them. Somebody writes me and says, "Hey Jason, I was looking around in my storage and I found two boxes of something really neat, and I heard you might want it. Can I send it to you?" And sometimes in those conversations, I find out that the person is very close to me, and I say that they can just drop it off. So they came by and dropped off two boxes. And what they had given me were dozens and dozens of multi-level marketing tapes. And unfortunately, this has not been my most favorite digitization project. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Eric Vitello, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. For some subjects, fundamentally, they're controversial, they have very strong opinions, and in today's world, we don't just have opinions, we have factions of opinions, phalanxes of people believing one thing or another and providing documentation and writing to back it up. If we look at things that way, then I am a strong member of the phalanx of people who have seen many, many lives destroyed or damaged or ruined by multi-level marketing. The fundamental grains of truth buried deep inside a multi-level marketing scheme is that working together, we can accomplish more than if we don't. If you believe in something, and you work with others and communicate with them, let them prop you up and let them work with you, you will accomplish so much more that you will have moments where your faith, where your belief in yourself flags. And only by reaching out with others in the same place can you lift everyone up back into your full potential. These are all true things. They are fundamental aspects of human nature. We do things better when we work in an organized fashion, or at least we get more done. In the same way, we often will find ourselves falling behind according to a perceived metric, an idea that we have to do this amount in this amount of time, and that by reaching out and communicating with others and sharing our pain, we will find solace in knowing that we're not alone. All of these ideas, these truths, are tools in the hands of people. They can be used to make the world better, or they can be used to enrich a very few. If you can convince people that they are one small step, one small reimagining of their lives away from untold, unfettered success, and that hard work, however that's defined, will lead them into that path, you can have an incredible amount of influence over their lives. I'm saying this with the mouth of a person who has guided groups of people towards a goal, who has talked about lofty ambitions and working with groups of people to make something happen in what I believe is for a greater good. Like many people, I am entranced and interested in folks who are friendly and have ideas and want to get things done, who exude a sort of boundless energy and seem to have answers that I don't, and guide me towards reaching what I think I'm going for. People who are available all the time, who seem to be always responsive to my needs, to my fears, to my wishes. I became very aware at a young age of the power, the possibilities, and the dangers and pitfalls of group organized actions. So perhaps it was luck, and maybe it was a little bit of experience that saved me from being recruited by a cult in my early 20s. A friend of mine, you see, had joined a cult wearing the vestments of an informal church with food and music events and all sorts of literature. And at one point, a few of us were invited to come to one of their music events that was being held in a rented hall. Since my friend was playing the piano and he was a wonderful musician, I thought it might be fun to come along. because I didn't have a car, it was a long trip to get there, and we watched the show, which was, I must say, beautiful, incredibly pleasant, talented musicians playing their songs. And in the conversations that happened afterwards, I knocked into one of the members who seemed to know everything about what I wanted to hear. He was friendly, he was engaging, he took incredible amounts of interest in my love of computers and being in a world of internet and data centers and all that was going to happen going forward. He asked me for my phone number very casually, saying he would love to hang out sometime. And I gave it to him. When that phone call came to me at age 24, I thought of it as a person who might become a friend, but it was something else entirely. He called me up and started talking to me and told me that I should really come to one of their other events, one of the events that was being held at their actual place where they lived and where they had discoveries and truth and things to be said, and that I would benefit from it, that I would find ways out of the parts of my life that I didn't like, and that I would be able to maybe make myself into a better person. And along that phone call, I realized the difference between somebody who wanted something from you, somebody who might want to have something you have, or maybe heard that you had something they might want to buy, and somebody who was simply looking at you as a mark on a sheet, somebody to be converted, to be flipped, to be added to the list of people under them so that their quota could be met. A purely transactional phone call, one where, as his voice changed and his tone became more insistent, slowly took the cover off of what seemed to be social and was purely an attempt to recruit me into their cult and become somebody who would be assisting them and being part of it and using my computer skills for their ends. As the conversation spiraled downwards and he started calling up my friend as an example of somebody I could see, and he was desperately clinging for anything, anything that would get me within the confines of their group home, I slowly backed away, conversationally, until finally, disappointed in me, telling me that he was really worried for me and concerned and telling me to reach him in the future. But I think, knowing inside that he had lost the sale, I hung up. And this phone conversation may have been one of the most important of my life. Because in 20 intense minutes, I had been inoculated against the direct pitch. Since that time, it has been very, very difficult to lock me into a conversation in person or over communication and sway me into your area of thinking simply by giving me shame and a sense that I need to be part of something if I am to be whole. It's extremely hard to break down and attack what I believe in because you believe you have something that will achieve it better, to win me over to a complete new way of thinking. That said, if you succeed, if you bring me something that comes over that resistance, I am dedicated to it, far beyond one needs to be, because I know how much defense I've built up and how much I recognize. One result of that phone call is that I'm always looking for what's the final request. What is the end game? Is it to make you buy a product, to make you sell a product for someone else, to fall into a way of thinking that ultimately leads to buying a certain kind of product or paying membership dues to a group of people who you've been convinced are the only answer? Every time I ask that question of something, it becomes easier and easier to find it. Once you push past all of the niceties and the gold leaf and the beautiful fonts of a pitch, and you find out what's at the end, you realize how many pitfalls you just walked past? What kind of machine was built that was waiting to put you into it as a cog and start turning for its own ends? Once you drop a tablet of a cynical and skeptical view into this beautiful glittering pool provided before you, you can watch as the waters clear up and show what lurks at the very bottom of them. I don't want to say that every group endeavor has evil lurking within it, and I certainly don't want to imply that every method of recruiting and bringing people into an endeavor has built into it lies and evil. But I do think you should be pleasantly surprised when they don't. When I joined the Internet Archive, I spent months, years, trying to find out if there was a scheme, some method of enriching somebody or some group, making it look like we were doing one thing and we were actually doing another, falling into some sort of trap of saying the nicest things we could while also doing evil. And I promise you, there isn't any. But that inoculation, that phone call that I received, which I have been reaping benefits from for decades, is why I will look at quote-unquote revolutionary new technologies and come flying in with an ice-cold bucket of water, tweeting something that infuriates the CEOs of these companies, rife with angel investors, and promising that everything that came before was terrible and they will make it good and right. I am a loud weirdo in the mezzanine, smashing pots and pans while somebody makes their pitch from the stage next to two beautiful bouquets of flowers and with a huge banner proclaiming success and innovation behind them. So you can imagine what it feels like when two boxes of pure, concentrated, multi-level marketing from the 1990s lands at your doorstep. This appears to have been either a video production house set of copies or somebody who really, really invested in this scheme. I'm not going to give you the name and the easy ways to find them. That's kind of beside the point. What they are is a company that sells stuff, mostly medical-like stuff that is intended to make you live better, live longer, have more energy. It pulls upon thousands of years of supposed history, and it implies, if it doesn't directly do so, that it can cure a wide variety of syndromes and medical conditions, which science, they believe, has failed to truly understand. These are all VHS tapes and audio tapes. They all have beautiful lettering, incredible packaging. Some of them are clearly the deluxe editions, the ones that you graduate up to. And if you look closely, you realize that it's not just the products that are being sold. It's the videotapes about the products and the videotapes that teach people at lower levels in the organization how to sell to get money to the higher levels. That is fundamentally the real product that makes them rich. Joining them is simple, with very simple goals. But over time, you start to find that you need to get more product out the door. And to do that, you need to learn how. Luckily for you, this organization is ready with tapes that are for sale that teach you how to sell better, with conventions of people organized monthly and then turned into a videotape of their testimonials filled with disclaimers as people claim that cancer, infectious disease, and a whole other range of medical maladies were perhaps cured with these products. They then package up these conventions and then sell them in this subscription form to the members who are subscribers. In this way, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars are being made by the organization just talking about the organization. These are the tapes that I have in my possession. My VHS digitization rig is now swapping between anime fan subs and these tapes. The tapes are, of course, incredibly repetitious. You end up learning the same things over and over again. Non-verified statements telling you that you are just one more outlook, one more door, one more customer away from amazing success. Buried in the middle of these pronouncements, of course, are helping you to feel protected against naysayers, defined as anybody who doesn't think the products do what they do, anybody who says you shouldn't be in the program, anybody who says maybe this isn't the right idea, maybe this is a scam. By providing you with endless seminars that you pay for to tell you that you should be paying more and ignoring what everyone, your family, your friends, logic, tell you not to buy, they will keep a certain kind of person wrapped inside of this cocoon for years. You probably know a lot of this if you've ever interacted with multi-level marketing or anything writing about it. You also might have seen how people involved in multi-level marketing show up to do what we now call a brigade to convince you that what's being said isn't true and that there is actually some sort of conspiracy to prevent the truth about the products from coming out. Maybe I'm just another disappointing naysayer voice in your outlook on the world. Maybe I'm the conversation that causes you to recognize this the next time you see it, when it's given a new name, when you find that there are people who are extremely focused on letting you know the truth about a subject, to the complete obliteration of any other part of their character and defining everything they do to you as part of this idea. Maybe you've sat through a bunch of videos that describe something that goes through a very beautiful and slick description of the world, sanding off the rough edges and the corners and making it sound like with the most minor of efforts, success awaits you at the bottom of the slide. However my conversation sends you, I will make one thing clear. My first impulse with these tapes was not to throw them into the river, to forget about them, to hide them away, thinking that they were just too evil, too vicious to live. Unfortunately, I've been inoculated against that for even longer, because when I was collecting text files, I knew some of these were terrible, terribly made, terribly written, by some standards not worth the bits that they were being stored in. But I also knew they were history. They represented real ideas, real ways that people looked in the world, and that by adding this feeling of time, that they had been around forever, that these weren't brand new ideas, I was doing something good, even if, in my teenage years, I couldn't quite define it. Time passes, and I believe, still, that making things available for reference, for ridicule, for accolade, is the way that the world gets better. That by revealing information, not hiding it away, giving it a gilded edge of subversion and underground by trying to prevent it from being accessible, that we will have a better world and a more informed world come out of it. And maybe, if this has inoculated you correctly, we will somehow be a better world for it, that I'm proudly a member of. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Peter Healy, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Matt Reynolds, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. If you act now,